Welcome to Zichru Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Ayin Zayin. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yosef said that Rabbi Nassan, who was discussing congealed wine, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who was discussing congealed blood of a nevela, both hold that a ravias of a liquid substance will congeal into a solid substance the size of a kazayas. Abai suggests that this is not necessarily so. Perhaps Rabbi Nassan only holds of this for congealed wine, which is a thin liquid and loses much of its volume when it congeals. But blood, which is thicker, may not require a ravias to produce a kazayas when congealed. And perhaps Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda only holds this for congealed blood, which is thick and doesn't lose much of its volume when it congeals. But wine, which is a thin liquid, requires more than a ravias to congeal into a kazayas. Point number two, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Kol ma shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo, in all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in his world, he did not create even one thing needlessly. Among the few examples he brought are, the slug was created as a remedy for a sore. The fly was created as a cure for the sting of a hornet. Rashi explains that one crushes the fly and places it on the place of the sting. And the gnat was created to be a cure for a snake bite. And point number three, Rabbi Zera once encountered Rabbi Yehuda, who was in a lighthearted mood. So he decided to ask him about curiosities in the world, such as the meaning of names of various items. Rabbi Yehuda answered, an outer cloak is called a levusha because wearing it keeps one from being embarrassed, lobusha. An overcoat is called a galima because the one who wears it is shapeless like a golem. And a head wrap worn by the rabbis is called a sudra because the secrets of Hashem are revealed to those who fear him. Sod Hashem l'riyav. So once again, the three points are, point number one, Rabbi Yosef said that Rabbi Nassan, who was discussing congealed wine, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who was discussing congealed blood of a nevela, both hold that a ravias of a liquid substance will congeal into a solid substance the size of a kazayas. Abai suggests that this isn't necessarily so. Perhaps Rabbi Nassan only holds of this for congealed wine, which is a thin liquid and loses much of its volume when it congeals. But blood, which is thicker, may not require a ravias to produce a kazayas when congealed. And perhaps Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda only holds to this for congealed blood, which is thick and does not lose much of its volume when it congeals. But wine, which is a thin liquid, requires more than ravias to congeal into kazayas. Point number two, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo, v'bara davar echad levatala, in all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in his world, he did not create even one thing needlessly. Among the few examples he brought are, the slug was created as a remedy for a sore, the fly was created as a cure for the sting of a hornet. Rashi explains that one crushes the fly and places it on the place of the sting. And then that was created to be a cure for a snake bite. And point number three, Rabbi Zera once encountered Rabbi Yehuda, who was in a lighthearted mood, so he decided to ask him about curiosities in the world, such as the meaning of names of various items. Rabbi Yehuda answered, an outer cloak is called a levusha because wearing it keeps one from being embarrassed, lobusha. An overcoat is called a galima because the one who wears it is shapeless like a golem. And a head wrap worn by the rabbis is called a sudra, because the secrets of Hashem are revealed to those who fear him. Sod Hashem l'riyav. All right, so now we go to our simon, and once again, a lot of great suggestions here. Just a few that I'll mention here. We had Avodah Zorah. We had Oz, strength. We had the Wizard of Oz, came in a couple of times. We had Easy Pass for those who pay tolls here in the United States. But we're going to go with the most common suggestion. It was very popular. It was an A's, a goat. So we're going to go with A's, goat, for simon ayin zayin. So here goes. This stubborn goat was smashing the kazasim of congealed wine and blood with his horns to get rid of the swarm of flies and gnats when he spotted a traveling salesman selling cloaks, overcoats, and sudras for those who fear Hashem. Once again, in slow motion. The stubborn goat, that means we're on Daf, Ayin Zayin. The stubborn goat was smashing the kazasim of congealed wine and blood, which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef said that Rabbi Nassan, who was discussing congealed wine, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda was discussing congealed blood of nevela, both hold that a ravias of a liquid substance will congeal into a solid substance the size of a kazayas. Abai suggests that this is not necessarily so. Perhaps Rabbi Nassan only holds of this for congealed wine, which is a thin liquid and loses much of its volume when it congeals, but blood, which is thicker, may not require ravias to produce a kazayas when congealed. And perhaps Rabbi Nassan Rabbi Yehuda only holds this for congealed blood, which is thick and doesn't lose much of its volume when it congeals, but wine, which is a thin liquid, requires more than ravias to congeal into kazayas. So the stubborn goat was smashing the kazasim of congealed wine and blood with his horns to get rid of the swarm of flies and gnats, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo, v'bara davar echad levatala, in all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in his world, He did not create even one thing needlessly. Among the few examples he brought are the slug, which was created as a remedy for a sore. The fly was created as a cure for the sting of a hornet. Rashi explains that one crushes the fly and places it on the place of the sting. And then that was created to be a cure for a snake bite. So the stubborn goat was smashing the kazesim of gejulled wine and blood with his horns to get rid of the swarm of flies and gnats when he spotted a traveling salesman selling cloaks, overcoats, and sudras for those who fear Hashem. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zera once encountered Rabbi Yehuda was in a lighthearted mood, so he decided to ask him about curiosities in the world, such as the meaning of names of various items. Rabbi Yehuda answered, an outer cloak is called a levusha because wearing it keeps one from being embarrassed, lobusha. An overcoat is called a galima because the one who wears it is shapeless like a golem. And a head wrap worn by the rabbis is called a sudra because the secrets of Hashem are revealed to those who fear him. Sod Hashem l'rayav. So once again, the stubborn goat was smashing the kazesim of congealed wine and blood with his horns to get rid of the swarm of flies and gnats when he spotted a traveling salesman selling cloaks, overcoats, and sidras for those who fear Hashem. All right, now it's time for a four blah back chazara. Daf Ayin Gimel. So the simfra Ayin Gimel is an ostrich egg. So here goes. The ostrich egg, that means we're on Daf Ayin Gimel. The ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only two amos, not four, which reminds the Gemara brings two additional disputes between Abai and Rav regarding misasek, preoccupation. If someone intended to throw an object two amos, but threw it four amos instead, Rav says he's exempt because he didn't intend to throw it four amos. Abai says he is liable because he intended a throwing of some sort. And the second case is if someone thought he was throwing in a reshus to Yachid, but finds out it was a reshus to Rabim, Rav says he is exempt because he didn't intend a prohibited throw. Abai says he's liable because he intended some throw. The Gemara explains why it was necessary to teach all three disputes between Abai and Rava. So the ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only two amos, not four, while reciting the Lametes Malachos by heart, which reminds us the next mission in the Perek enumerates the 39 Malachos. 11 Malachos relate to the preparation of food. 13 Malachos relate to the processing of wool. 7 Malachos relate to the preparation of leather. And 8 Malachos relate to construction. So the ostrich egg challenge entailed throwing the giant egg only two amos, not four, while reciting the Lametes Malachos by heart. Losers had to dig a hole in their houses to get dirt to cover the eggs if they broke. Which reminds Rabbi Abba said that one who digs a hole in the floor of his house on Shabbos but requires only its earth is exempt even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Malacha Shein and Tzrichu Gufa Chai Voleh. One who performs a forbidden labor not needed for its divine purpose is nevertheless liable for it. Rabbi Yehuda only holds that when the person is Masakin, he's rectifying something, not when he's Makalkal, ruining something. And in this case, the person is ruining his house. Daf Ayin Dalet. So the Simra Ayin Dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness, that means we're on Daf Ayin Dalet. The witness, claiming he saw the woman do borer, not immediately, which reminds the Gemara seeks to understand a cryptic brisa that said as follows. If a person has different types of food before him, he may do borer and eat. He may do borer and leave it for others to eat. He may not do borer, and if he did do borer, he's liable to bring a chattas. After the first four pshatim are rejected, the fifth pshat from Abai is accepted. Abai explains the brisa to mean that one may do borer and eat immediately, or alter. And one may do borer and have others eat immediately. But he may not do borer to eat later on that day. And if he did do borer to eat later on, it's as if he did borer for storage and he's liable to bring a chattas. So the witness, claiming he saw the woman do borer, not immediately for baking bread and cooking dyes, which reminds us, Rapapa asks why the Tana of the Mishnah chose not to list the cooking of herbs, which was done in the construction of the Mishkan for the preparation of dyes, and mentioned baking instead, which was not done in the construction of the Mishkan. The Gemara answers that the Tana chose Sidur de Pas, the malachas that are involved in the baking of bread. Rashi explains that the Tana began with malachas that are only applicable to bread, Choresh, Zoreya. Therefore, he continues discussing the malacha baking, which is the equivalent of cooking herbs for dyes. So the witness claiming he saw the woman do borer, not immediately for baking bread and cooking dyes, got caught lying when he said he also saw her spin wool off the back of an animal. Which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that one who spins wool that is still on the back of an animal on Shabbos is liable to bring three chattas offerings. One for gozes, shearing, one for menapets, combing, and one for tovis, spinning. Rav Kahana said he's pater from bringing any chattas, since this is not the usual way to do these malachas. The Gemara explains that even though the woman involved in the building the Mishkan did these malachas while the wool was on the backs of the animals, they were only able to do so because they were blessed with extraordinary wisdom. Ordinary people cannot do these malachas this way, and therefore it is considered an unusual manner. Daf Ayin Hey, so the Simra Ayin Hey is an Amaret, so here goes. The Amaharts, that means we're on Daf Ayin Hey. The Amaharts try to predict weather patterns, which reminds us, it was said in the Rabbi Yochanan that the source sets a mitzvah on a person to calculate the Tekufos and the Mezalos, the progression of the seasons and the position of the constellations, is from the Pasuk, Ushmartim Vasisim Kihi Chachmaschem Livinaschem Lenea Amim. You shall safeguard and perform them, for it is your wisdom and discernment in the eyes of the nations. Now, what wisdom and discernment are there in the eyes of the nations? It's the calculation of the Tekufos and the Mezalos. And Rashi explains that one can know for certain if someone truly has wisdom in these areas, because it can be seen if he's able to correctly predict weather patterns, which are based upon the movement of the sun and constellations. So the Amar try to predict weather patterns by squeezing out the blood from the chilazon and looking at his blue dye. Which reminds us, there's a Malchokas and I'm brought in a brisa regarding the trapping of a chilazon and squeezing it with one's hands to extract the blood in order to produce blue dye. Rav Yehuda holds that he's liable for the trapping and for the squeezing as well, since Petzia b'Kladish, squeezing, is a tolda of threshing. The Rabban hold he's only liable for trapping, since Petzia l'b'Kladisha, squeezing, is not a tolda of threshing. Rav explains that according to the Rabban, threshing only applies to gedulei karka, things that grow from the ground. So the Amar try to predict weather patterns by squeezing out the blood from the chilazon and looking at its blue dye, proudly storing away its broken shell fragments that everyone else considered worthless. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states another general rule, klal acher, that whatever is fit to store, and people usually store in a certain quantity, meaning an amount fitting to be stored, and one carried it out on Shabbos, one is liable to bring a chatas. The Mishnah continues that whatever is not fit to store, since it's not used by people, or it's used by people, but it's not a quantity that people store away for later use, then only a person who stored it away would be liable al chatas for carrying it out on Shabbos. Rashi explains that the person took a liking to the object and stored it away. Others who carried out the same item would be exempt, since the majority of people do not consider it, or its size, significant enough. Daf Ein Vav. So the Simcha Ein Vav is an IV tube. So here goes. The patient who forced himself to eat camel food combined with some more stringent cow food to win a bet was hooked up on the IV tube. IV tube, that means Ron Daf Ein Vav. So the patient who forced himself to eat camel food, which reminds us, when Rabin came to Bavel, he said there was a machlokas in a case where one carried out bean straw, eitzah, which is typically fed to camels in a large quantity to feed a cow. Rav Yochan said the one who carried it out is exempt, since cows do not usually eat this, and achila ideat chak, loshme achila, eating in a forced way is not considered eating. Even though it's considered a normal eating for a camel, the amount that he carried out for the cow is not enough to feed a camel. Reish Lakish said he's liable because he holds achila ideat chak, shme achila, eating in a forced way is considered eating. So the patient who forced himself to eat camel food combined with some more stringent cow food to win a bet, which reminds us, the Mishnah say that items with different measurements, in order to be liable when carrying them outside, cannot be combined with each other. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said that they cannot be combined for the more stringent of them, the more chamur of them, but they can be combined for the more lenient, the more kal of them. Rashi explains that a feed whose minimum amount is large is considered kal, lenient, and one whose minimum amount is small is considered more chamur, more stringent. Therefore, camel feed, which is considered lenient, cannot be combined with cow feed to complete the minimum amount of a cow's mouthful. But cow feed, which is considered more chamur, more stringent, can be combined with camel feed to complete the minimum amount of a camel's mouthful. So the patient who forced himself to eat camel food, combined with some more stringent cow food to win a bet, was hooked up on the IV tube and told that he could only drink a revius of any liquid. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the 8th parak lists the minimum measures of various beverages and liquids, such as wine, milk, honey, oil, and water, to be liable for carrying on Shabbos. The Talmud Kama holds that all other liquids are a revius. Rabbi Shimon holds that all liquids are revius. The smaller measurements only apply to one who stored those substances in such small quantities. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes number 1. Which daf do you learn that according to Rabbi Tarfon, one would be chayv only one asham if he was with a shipcha or charufas 5 different times with 5 different halamos? That's on daf Ayin Beis. Great. Number 2, which daf do you learn the bor is mutter if one intends to eat immediately? That's on daf Ayin Dalet. Great. Number 3, which daf do we have a machlokas whether achila al yedei adchak is considered achila? That's on daf Ayin Vav. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have the Mishnah that lists the Lamates Malachos? That's on daf Ayin Gimel. Great. Number 5. Which daf do we have the question whether revius of a liquid, when it congeals, will congeal into a kazayas? That's on daf Ayin Zayin. Great. Number 6. Which daf do we have the coin of Rabbi Yehuda digging a hole to get the dirt would be considered makalkel? That's on daf Ayin Gimel. Great. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that spinning the wool off the back of an animal requires extraordinary chachma? That's on daf Ein Dalet. Great. Number 8. Which stuff do you wear why an overcoat is called a glima? That's on Duff. Ein Zion. Great. Number 9. Which stuff do you wear that being able to calculate the seasons and the position of the constellations is considered chachma in the eyes of the nations? That was on Duff. Ein Hay. Great. And finally, number 10. Which stuff do you have machlokas in the Mishnah regarding the minimum shear for liquids? That's on Duff. Ein Vav. Great. Now we go to the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which stuff do we have machlokas regarding what the meaning of the pasuk of the Zion meaning is? The seven species. That's on Duff. Mem Olaf. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you have in that tefillah should be done betoch simcha shal mitzvah? That's on Duff. Lamed Olaf. Great. Number 3. Which stuff do you have a question whether a ball carry requires memsa or tisha kabin? That's on Duff. Chabez. Great, that concludes our pop quiz and the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Just a reminder for the all doffers, if you want to get access to the deluxe suite of review materials, simanim pictures, the pop quizzes, the much grander pop quizzes, you can sign up at zichru.com or WhatsApp at 973-440-3013. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldberg from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.